Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Police were called to the area of Egypt Road and Heston Avenue for a report of a woman being chased in the street by two other women. When police arrived, one of the women giving chase stopped to explain that she and the other pursuer were home care providers assigned for the woman that they were chasing. Now, police were informed that the running woman is diagnosed with mechanophilia, which is a sexual attraction to vehicles and machinery.
Oh, wow. So she's one of these people that has sex with cars.
Yes.
Okay.
According to the police report, the woman's caretakers are not allowed to physically restrain her, so she frequently breaks away in pursuit of vehicles that she is attracted to.
Cars she finds sexy.
Before she was returned to her residence, police said she hugged and kissed a Nissan Pathfinder before being informed that she was causing a disturbance.
Ooh, Asian.
And needed to go inside. So that happened in West Norton. I love this story, man. A winner of the prestigious Wildlife Photographer of the Year photo contest has been stripped of his award after it was discovered that the anteater seen in the photo is a stuffed animal that was photoshopped in.
No. That son of a bitch.
Dude, the Wildlife Photographer of the Year.
A stuffed anteater, the oldest trick in the book.
This is a worldwide competition. Oh my God. So a Brazilian photographer, Marcio Cabral, had won the Animals in Their Environment category for the 2017 contest with his photo titled The Night Raider. The photo appeared to show an anteater at a termite mound, and the caption stated, for three seasons, Marcio had camped out in Brazil's Cerrado region on the vast treeless savanna of Imas National Park, waiting to capture the termite mound's light display. Click beetle larvae living in the outer layers of the mounds flash their bioluminescent headlights to lure in prey, the flying termites. Out of the darkness ambled a giant anteater, oblivious to Marcio in his hide, and began to attack the tall concrete mud mound with its powerful claws to reach the termites deep inside.
And it's all bull.
And it's all a bunch of crap.
And you can see right in the back there's a Wawa sign.
But after the award was announced, someone apparently noticed something strange. The anteater in the photo looked remarkably similar to a stuffed anteater found at one of the entrances to the same national park. The National History Museum, which owns and operates the prestigious contest, then enlisted the help of five expert scientists to investigate.
So he bought it at the exact park he took the picture in?
I don't know if he bought it, but he used it, yeah.
Lazy bastard.
The team comprised two mammal experts and a taxidermy specialist, as well as two external experts. After comparing the anteater in the winning photo with the stuffed one on the park, all five scientists independently concluded that the two were exactly the same anteater.
Wow.
They all reached the same conclusion that there are elements in overall posture, morphology, the position of raised tufts and fur, and in the patterning on the neck and the top of the head that are too similar for the images to depict two different animals.
Huh.
The museum.
What about the price tag, too?
The museum also asked Cabral to supply raw files. And the photographer provided photos shot before and after the anteater photo, but none of the other photos containing the anteater. So you just had the one picture of the anteater that sent in. So they stole it from him.
And wow. It had a stamp mid-belly that said Boner Garage with an arrow pointing
at it. But he hasn't fessed up?
No, apparently he hasn't fessed
up. Well, do they specifically say that wildlife doesn't constitute stuffed animals?
Maybe that's not
okay.
In
it's
the...
It's a gray area.
It might not be in the fine print. I don't know. This is a harrowing story, man. One man is being deemed a hero for saving a young boy's life while vacationing back in March. He's from Luzerne County. A guy named Sean Skursky was on a normal vacation with he and his family, and it took a crazy turn. He is now being called a hero. Skursky was poolside vacation at a Vista Resort in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, with his family when a nightmare became reality. He said, I was in the hot tub, and I hear a lady screaming for help. I grabbed my son. I ran over to see what the problem was. And saw there were two young boys in the water, and I jumped in to start helping. They were in the lazy river that coasts along, if you've ever been to a water park. And the video surveillance video shows two boys were playing in the river when one of them got his leg stuck in a grate. Trapped, the boy was unable to come up for air. He said, I just dove under the water, and I started breathing into his mouth. Every time I came up, I took another breath. And when I went down, I blew my oxygen into his mouth. And on the way up, I tried to pull him out, and it just wasn't working. Emergency responders estimate the boy was underwater for around 8 minutes.
Wow.
Eight
That's
minutes.
That's amazing.
That is that is an eternity for being underwater without being able to breathe. He said if it wasn't, they said if it wasn't for Skursky giving him air, it would have been tragic.
Wow.
He works as a corrections officer at a state prison and says his experience there helped him act quickly. He said, I had no time to think at all. I saw two boys in the water. I heard someone screaming for help, and I just jumped in the pool. I guess it's part of our DNA as first responders and corrections officers. It's what we do. You get the job done, and you think about it later on.
It's just miraculous. God. And this guy instantly jumps into action.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I would have known to start blowing air. But he hopes to someday again see the boy whose life he saved. That boy who lives in Michigan is okay. Earlier this month, the Myrtle Beach Department of Public Safety flew Skursky back down to South Carolina and gave him a life-saving award for his heroics. Isn't that wild?
I always consult Kathy's emergency response pamphlet that says, make sure you have no appearances that evening.
Step one.
I had another one recently. Oh, God.
For those who don't know, Steve passed out in the studio one day, and Casey jumped into action, elevated his legs, made sure that he could, you know, try to get his attention, see if he had his wits about him. Kathy ran down the hall to see if she had an appearance that weekend, check with our promotions department. Was your other one?
I didn't actually check to see if I had an appearance. I did run down and just was like, Steve needs help.
I'm going home.
No, I think it was when Jace knocked out his two front teeth. Like, I just froze.
And
his blood was, like, dripping down. Get napkins. Sometimes, I'm like, right.
You don't know what the hell to do.
The carpet.
Worse.
Do you rent steam cleaners?
Yeah, she calls Stanley. Get the OxyClean.
Do you rent steam cleaners? Thank you.
My brother spilled red wine on a carpet in my house on Sunday.
Did you know?
I was just like, I stood there and looked at him, and I could see he was like panicking. He was like, can you get some now? I spilled a little bit of wine. I went upstairs. I was like, a little? And he was like, yeah, well, I just, I put, like, white wine on it. I think white wine takes out red wine.
What? White wine counters red wine?
What?
Yeah. No, yeah.
I've never heard that before. Is that true?
Yeah. I put white wine on it. So somebody told me to do this as well, and this really worked. But you actually put salt on it, and you don't like scrub it, but you kind of start from the outside of the stain, and you go in, and it just lifts up. Like, the salt soaks up the coloring and the
and
wine.
It works?
That got it out, mostly. I could still see little dots, and then I just sprayed Shout on it, and it's completely gone.
Here's a link they pulled up. It says, gently dab the stain to remove the excess liquid. Baking soda can be used as a product for helping to remove red wine stains. Consider applying a baking soda paste to the affected area. After applying the salt, baking soda, or white wine, you should see a difference.
And then Shout.
Never.
Yeah, man.
Never heard that. Shout the cleaner.
Yes. You know you make me wanna
shout.
Yeah.
But even though my brother spilled it, I felt bad because I could see he was like, oh my God, she's gonna kill me.
Yep.
It's just funny, a coworker passes out and you panic, but there's a stain on the carpet, you spring into action.
I got it.
Do you have carpet steamers?
You ever see remember the original Creep Show, Preston?
Yeah.
The movie where the guy, I think it was Eli Wallach, had the totally clean, hermetically
sealed
germaphobe.
Yeah.
That's Kathy.
He hated roaches.
Yeah.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand.
Well, a couple were told that their baby didn't need a doctor and would, quote, poop out a remote control battery that he swallowed. And they are poised to get a $475,000 settlement from the city of Lauderhill after the battery corroded and damaged the boy's throat.
Of course.
The couple, Yandy Joseph and Matthew Asia, took the advice of emergency responders, they say, in their lawsuit. And they didn't immediately take their young son to the hospital. When his saliva interacted with the battery lodged in his esophagus, he suffered severe medical complications and was hospitalized for 3 months. Joseph had called 911 because her son, described as a baby in the lawsuit, had swallowed the button battery from a remote control for a fan. When fire rescue paramedics arrived about 10 minutes later, she showed them the battery and from another device so they could see what he had swallowed. One of the emergency medical technicians picked up the boy and said, he looks good to me, and he'll probably poop it out.
Yeah, I'll probably poop it out, but they did take the remote to the hospital.
The mom said that the technician told her that if we took him to the hospital, that's what they'll tell you. And they gave no other advice, and then they left.
Well, they were wrong.
Yeah. She inspected her baby in the next two bowel movements, but there was no sign of the battery. The next morning, he threw up, so she called poison control. They instructed her to take him to the hospital immediately. And he required multiple surgeries and was in the hospital for 3 months.
That's horrible.
So they deserve to get compensation for that. Federal court papers described a scheme in which the mailing address for the corporate headquarters of shipping giant UPS was changed to a small apartment in the Chicago area.
Really?
Yeah. UPS is based in Sandy Springs with 745,000 square feet of office space at its headquarters campus.
I'm sure you're getting a lot of mail.
But mail destined for the headquarters was diverted to apartment L2 in the Rogers Park neighborhood of Chicago.
Well, maybe that's a cost-cutting move.
Among the correspondence were letters meant for the company's CEO and other executives, sensitive documents containing personal information as well as corporate credit cards and tens of thousands of dollars in business checks.
So how many pounds of mail per day would you imagine they were getting?
I don't know, but it wasn't until the resident, Deshaun Spruce, allegedly deposited nearly $60,000 in UPS checks into his bank account.
There you go.
That UPS was alerted to the alleged scam. They issued a statement saying the U.S. Postal Service corrected the issues and the USPS Postal Inspector is investigating the incident. A 15-year-old girl was arrested at her Florida middle school for allegedly sharing pot-laced chips with her classmates. Police said at least three students at Driftwood Middle School got sick earlier this week after they ate the THC-laced chips labeled as Wheatos Flamin' Hot.
Wheatos?
Instead of Cheetos. The bag resembles a bag of Cheetos.
So are these marketed this way?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Officials said the teenager admitted to bringing the snacks into the school and sharing them with her friends, who she said she knew that they were laced with THC.
Oh.
Police said one student was transported to a nearby hospital, while another student is said to have hallucinated after ingesting the product. The third student was carried out of school by her father because she couldn't walk.
Wow.
Police said the effects of the THC eventually wore off. The girl told police that a man had given her the snacks. The man has not been identified and is part of an open investigation. Hey, if you're going to hide a video camera inside a porta potty, make sure not to be accidentally filmed while setting up the equipment.
Yeah, that's what I've learned.
Police allege that you've since...
Yeah, you wait till nighttime and then you install your camera.
Police allege that a Pennsylvania voyeur earlier this month placed a tiny camera behind the toilet paper dispenser inside a portable toilet on a construction site near Johnstown. The camera, cops say, recorded several unsuspecting victims before a worker discovered the hidden evidence. A review of the camera's footage showed Kenneth Haluska installing the device inside the mobile restroom. Haluska, wearing a white construction helmet and a green safety vest, was seen in a still from the seized video. Haluska,
all part of my efforts to watch people poop.
Haluska, an engineering inspector, had been at the Johnstown construction site on the day that the camera was found.
Look at this guy. Look at these pictures.
I know.
Looks like he's performing an operation.
What does he like to do?
He likes to watch people poop, but capturing it on video, well, that's the holy grail.
A detective identified three victims who were recorded inside the porta potty. He has been charged with 9 misdemeanor counts in the incident.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.